We continue our study of the book of Romans. This is our ninth session on the book of Romans. And up to this time, we are through for the first four chapters, come to the fifth chapter. And during this four chapters, Paul has taught us that both Jew and Gentile, all race, as a matter of fact, are under sin and fall short of being able to keep the Sinai law or the Ten Commandments as they were given to Moses there in the Old Testament. Every mouth of every tribe of every man is stopped, and all the world is guilty before him. That's why we die. The evidence of that is death. Even Abraham himself could not and was not justified before God by his goodness or what he was able to do. It still was not good enough. He had sin in his life. For example, he didn't have a child, so what did he do? He jumped in bed with his wife's handmaiden. He, Abraham, as good as he was not good enough. But the scripture teaches us, Paul teaches here in these first four chapters, that his faith counted for righteousness. His belief in God counted for his salvation. It was imputed to him because he believed God. And it's the simplest possible thing that God could demand from man in order to receive the gifts that he has to give, and that, of course, is eternal life. Goodness for us is just not good enough. But why has God put this together for us? We die, and he wants us to live. And so what has he done? Because he loves us. He lovingly has provided a way whereby we can be declared innocent of all of our sins and that we can have life. And the penalty of death is replaced by this gift that he has given to mankind. And you've heard me say, he is the only person in the course of history that has been able to speak with authority in the face of death. Others try, but only he is the one that is able to raise himself out of the grave by the power of the Father in heaven. Paul has made it clear how it is possible for God to justify us, and we've seen that there in the first four chapters. Today we begin chapter 5. So if you will, open your Bibles to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. And here in the next 11 verses, we find the blessings that come about as a result of this believing in him. The main thing is the gift of eternal life. But there are many other things that we benefit by belief in him. And Paul, here in this next chapter, first 11 verses, begins to reveal to us what is the advantage of believing. And so let's look at the first 11 verses of chapter 5 and read them. Verse 1, therefore being justified by faith, and not by our works, but being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access, that's access by prayer to the Father, by faith unto his grace, wherein we stand and rejoice We can rejoice. Why? We can rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. We have more patience. And patience, experience, and experience, hope. There's a biggie right there, hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commandeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Make any difference how bad I am, he looked at me and loved me anyway. Verse 9, much more then, being now justified by his death, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if we then were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Those that believe have something special other than this final gift of eternal life. The results of belief we see here in these verses, these first 11 verses. I see in there 18 different things that are an advantage to us that believe. Some of them are obvious. For example, peace. We have a peace because why? Because we have hope. We know that we are justified by the fact that I'm guilty before him. I've done things I shouldn't been doing. We have access through prayer that helps us in times of trouble. We have an undeserved grace that comes about. Our standing before him is no longer the way our state before him used to be. Do you remember we had a lesson on state and standing? What's the difference between state and standing? State is where you were before God, before you believed. Standing is where he stood for you before the Father when he died for you. So we have a better standing than when we before. We have rejoicing according to what Paul's teaching here. Patience. We have shame. We're not guilty because we understand we've been forgiven. Strength, an inner strength as a result of belief. Love, sacrifice, we understand was for us. We can have effect on other folks as a result of our belief and love. We are reconciled, as we've learned from him. We have a joy, according to the verses here. Not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then there at the end it said, receive the atonement. What does atonement mean? Atonement means, in the vernacular, atonement means at one month. Atonement, at one month. We are in line with our Heavenly Father. We are in atone with him because we believe he loved us and he said to us, I love you. And so you are now in atonement. Now, these things have an individual impact on each person when you believe in him. But the interesting thing is, I just begin to think about what effect does this have on a group of people that believe versus a group of people who do not believe. And so I started to look around at some of the research that's been done in the world by some of the health organizations and the United Nations and other places. And if you look, you can find information on the healthiest countries in the world. The healthiest countries in the world. And it's surprising who some of them are. For example, one of the most healthiest in the top 10, let's say, is South Korea. You wouldn't guess that, would you? And then you can go and you can find the unhealthiest countries that don't even come into the top 25. And you can look at those countries and they have information on all of their health. And the strange thing is you can look at the charts of these countries. And you can take a look at individual illnesses in these countries. And you can find, for example, in some of the healthiest countries, you can find a chart that shows maybe cancer. And then maybe they'll show heart disease. And in another one of the healthiest countries, they'll show cancer and maybe heart disease. And over here, maybe in this country, it's the healthiest country, but they'll show diabetes. And in this country, they'll show diabetes as well. And they'll list all of these different diseases in all of these different countries, and they all vary somewhat. And one of them that they look at is mental health. And for example, in Korea, if you look at mental health, it's very low. But if you look in some of these other countries, and one in particular, mental health, and I'm not exaggerating that. I can point to these countries, like South Korea, for example, and their mental health and their behavioral disorders are low, and in some of these other countries that are the healthiest countries in the world, they have very low things, but when it comes to mental health, it's way out of proportion. Why is that? What's the difference between this country, South Korea, and this country, one of the healthiest countries in the world? You know what it is? This country, South Korea, is one of the most religious countries in the world. In fact, it ranks about number 6. You know why these other countries with the healthiest, why they have so much mental health and behavioral disorders? They are the most agnostic countries in the world. And I don't have to pick out one. You can look, and I did this. I've never heard this or seen this. I've discovered this just by my own research. It's not just South Korea versus one. It's all the countries that are more religious or believing than the countries that are agnostic. It runs across the board with the mental health and behavioral disorders. Why is that? The reason is because here there's hope. There's joy. There's rejoicing. There's patience. There's atonement. what Paul is teaching here in these first 11 verses. It not only affects the human, but it affects a whole culture. And here in statistics that are put together by the United Nations and all the health organizations of the world proves that there is a bearing on one's well-being by his belief in Christ. Now, I throw that in for free. Paul is not talking about that specifically, but just individually. So, back to those 18 things that we looked at there in those 11 verses. It's one word in there that is a Greek word. It's the word autio. We find it there in verse 2 where it says, and rejoice in hope. That's autio. So the verb this autio is translated rejoice. In verse 3, we find not only so, but we glory. That's the same word, autio. It's translated rejoice. It's translated glory. Down in verse 11, that same word, autio, is translated joy. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Hope. We rejoice in hope. We glory in tribulation. We joy in God, those that believe. You go back into a couple chapters back that we've already looked at. Look at Romans chapter 3, verse 27. Where is boasting? What do you think that word boasting is? That's the word that's translated rejoice, glory, and joy in the other verses. Where is boasting then? It is excluded by what? Law of works? No, but by the law of faith. Is boasting? Doesn't make a lot of sense. Boasting? Turn over to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse, start with 8. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ into good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Boasting in works is not acceptable. But boasting in the Lord here in Romans is okay. Boasting in only in the Lord can you boast. Verse 2 then, if you take that autio word and you begin to realize that it can be translated in one of three or four different ways, you could look at some of those verses. You can boast in your hope. You can boast in your tribulation. You can boast in God. You just can't boast in your good works because you can't be good enough. God says, and Paul teaches, we're all guilty before him, not good enough. So I want to look at boasting in hope, boasting in tribulation, boasting in God. Hebrews 11, chapter 1 tells us that faith is the substance of things hoped for. But hope in the Greek word in the scripture is more than, it's not saying, oh, I hope so. In the Greek, I hope so is a guaranteed fulfillment of a promise in the Greek language. We look at it as something, well, it might happen, but when you get to the Greek and you read it in the Scripture, it's not something that might be, it is something that's a guaranteed promise in that word, aucheo. There's no ambiguity to those who have this hope. It is a guarantee without a doubt. Not merely hoping for something or a possibility, but expectation without fear of the promise being void. That's why you can have joy and confidence and not fear of death, because you have hope and you can boast in that. Security. Christ is the security in our hope as a result of the gift of those that believe, not good works. Everything rests upon Him, and we can boast in that. If you look there in Romans, sometimes I like to read and put in there how this can be translated in other ways. Look at Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace through God, or with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith unto His grace, wherein we stand and boast, or rejoice, there it's translated, but it could have been the translation, the translator could have put boast in there. We stand and boast in hope of the glory of God. Now the next one, boasting in tribulation. Now, that's strange to me, to think that you can boast in tribulation. But it turns out the only one who is rejoicing upon hope can rejoice in tribulation. No person, no sane person, boasts in his troubles. But here Paul is contrasting between tribulation and peace. In the tribulation, he's boasting that he has peace as a result of his atonement and believing who this Maker is. And it's not something so shallow as saying, I'm glad that I'm hurting. Oh, I'm so happy I'm having trouble. He's boasting that he has peace despite it. It's not that he's searching out trouble, finding trouble, in order to be a martyr. He's telling us when you have trouble, you have peace. We find it in John chapter 16, verse 33. I'll read it to you. These things I have spoken that ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. I have overcome the world, and it's through me and your belief that I can have peace in the world. So I can boast in that. And these countries can pretty much boast in the fact that they're having a peace regardless of all the atrocities that happen in the world. They still are having a peace of mind and a joy and a happiness, where some of the other healthiest countries in the world are just miserable because they don't believe as a country. The peace that comes from hope becomes a true anchor, an anchor in the storms of life. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Verses 3 and 4. Blessed be God, the Father of our Jesus Christ, the Father who is the Comforter, who comforteth us in all our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort where we are comforted by God. Also there in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, for our light afflictions, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Our light afflictions. Paul had a lot of afflictions. He was shipwrecked. He was in the sea. They beat him almost to death. He had real trouble. For 35 years, they chased him all around, trying to kill him. He didn't have any food. He was hungry. He was cold. And he refers to them as light afflictions. They work a far more exceeding and eternal thing for us, those afflictions, than the person that doesn't believe. Because the person that believes understands God's purpose and plan and how he plans one day to do away with this evil in the world. Another verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 and 10. The Lord says, Paul, in all of his troubles, the Lord said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. That word rest is the same word that is used for a tent to cover. That's the peace that can be as a result of belief in Christ. That's what's not here. They don't have any peace of mind and joy and happiness and hope in that in these countries versus these countries. And we find that these tribulations that we do have will never be allowed to separate the believer from the Lord and his love. The third thing is this boasting. Paul boasted, and we can boast in that fifth chapter. Look at verses 10 and 11 again. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received what? The atonement. It's like you are a child that is in a right, good, loving relationship with your mother and your father. When you come into belief, you now are in atonement at one with the Creator. It's something to boast about. With it, and when received in belief, we have peace as a result with God. No sin is reckoned against us. We have become the righteousness of God in Christ. Before us then is hope, knowing that he had the power over of death and that we've been promised the same. And for our present and continuous salvation, he who died for us now lives for us. A couple other verses before we close. Turn a little further over in your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. It actually echoes Romans chapter 10, as a matter of fact. But look at Romans chapter 8, verse 31. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, And how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God who justifieth. Who is he? It is Christ risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. This is something to boast about. This is something to have joy about and hope for the future. Now, this fifth chapter pretty much ends the described early as the inner and the outer section of Romans. Next week, we begin the inner section. Paul leaves this question of sins. Remember, I've talked to you about there's a difference between what is referred to as sins, plural, and sin in its original state. And he drops kind of the disobedience of the law of Sinai. And for that one transgression for all men is in the Garden of Eden. He kind of goes to that. Moses and Abraham fade from the view. Adam is revealed as a channel of sin, death, and the dominion of this upon us. And so when we get into this intersection, we will learn that the utter ruin of the original creation was something different than the failure of the Gentile under the law of both conscious and a written law. In this intersection, we will come face to face with the dreaded fact that in our flesh dwelleth no good thing. And some don't quite understand that because they think they're good. There's times that I think, well, you know, I really did a pretty good thing. I think I did a nice thing. And I see people all the time that do good things. Lots of good things, as a matter of fact. But the Scripture teaches that in us, there's something that is not right. And we're going to learn what that is. And you might be surprised what it is. And you have nothing to do with it. Not your fault. But it's something that has happened as a result of evil. And there it is. And God has promised to do away with it for those that believe. And here we will see that not only are there none that can dwell that doeth good, but that even worse, there are none that are good. And we'll see coming up in one of the chapters, chapter 7, verse 24, Paul says, understanding what God's talking about, he says, oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from the body of this death? So that comes up. We'll be looking at that in the intersection over the next couple of weeks. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your written word. We're grateful to have an understanding as to where we stand and how we can be by being imputed to righteousness through you, that we can have a peace and a joy and a happiness and a hope and an at-one-ment with the Father, the Creator. For it's in his name that we pray. Amen.